Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. On this Mother's Day, we are thankful for the Lord's blessing of mothers. So, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in attendance this morning. This evening we will be in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 to 25. Today is Sonny and Shirley Fry's wedding anniversary. Many of you remember Sonny and Shirley. Dan, you have an announcement regarding some hymn sing activities over at the chapel.
Yes, on May the 22nd, Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're hoping to have a hymn sing, and also there's some practicing for Memorial Day singing over at the chapel on May the 10th. The first one is at 7 o'clock. This is next coming Tuesday. So there was a request. So we're looking for volunteers.
Okay. So the Memorial Day hymn sing is Monday morning on Memorial Day. And the hymn sing at the chapel is the 22nd at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, we're just doing the practices for the 2 o'clock, I mean, Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m.
Yes.
Is the practice this Tuesday.
Okay.
But that's for the Memorial Day.
Right. Okay, thank you. Welcome back to Connor from the semester. Another year down.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
One to go?
Two.
Two to go? Okay. All right. This morning we are in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah. And this is a rebuke upon unbelief, but it also provides the remedy, the path to reconciliation. Ask for the old paths. When we submit to the instruction of the Lord, when we hear His word, and when we apply it to our daily lives, all the way my Savior leads me. The hymn is 505.
Thank you.
in the midst of judgment, in the midst of rebuke and reproof. Nevertheless, the Lord also delivers His word of mercy, His word of grace. And thus, Jesus is tenderly calling. We need to be aware of the wrath to come. The scripture tells us to flee the wrath to come. But even that promise of judgment upon the wicked is a invitation of mercy and grace. Jesus is tenderly calling today, 697. In the midst of God's judgment, in the midst of the certainty of His wrath, there is an avenue of escape from temptation. There is the promise of deliverance. There is the true word of the Lord for those who by His grace and by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit can hear and respond to that effectual call. The false prophets offered peace, peace, when there was no peace. But the true peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, is found through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful words of life, 7:22.
Sing them over again to me.
Thank you, Bob. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Jeremiah 6, verses 10 to 19.
To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush, therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I shall visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your words of warning. And we thank you more for your mercy, for your grace. We pray that you would guide and direct us in the consideration of your word this morning, that we would flee the wrath to come, that we would turn from the old ways, and that we would seek the old paths, the correct way, your way. We ask that you would provide for the needs of the sick and afflicted around us. We pray for your blessing upon the mothers here this day. And we thank you for your amazing grace to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we turn to Jeremiah 6 this morning, we commemorate a date in history. It was May the 8th, the year 303, the date on which a faithful servant of the Lord was tortured and beheaded. His name was Victor of Milan. Victor was born on the Mediterranean coast of North Africa, Mauritania, sometimes known to history as Victor the Mar. But he had settled in Milan. He had become a Roman soldier. He had risen through the ranks and became a member of the prestigious Praetorian Guard for Emperor Maximian. Maximian instituted a persecution against Christians. Even those loyal soldiers in his midst, whose allegiance was to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Being that Victor was a member of the Praetorian Guard, Maximian first attempted to bribe him to worship the idols, to give up his faith in Christ. But Victor refused. He was then imprisoned, and the emperor demanded that he sacrifice to the idols. But again, Victor refused. He was then tortured, beaten mercilessly. But again, he refused to worship to the idols. Finally, Maximian ordered that he be tortured and beheaded. And thus, Victor met his earthly end, but received his eternal glory. The offer, the enticement to give up one's faith and to turn to the idols of this world is a continuing invitation by Satan. It is a continuing effort by the fallen nature of man to turn away from the old paths, from the way. Early Christianity was called the way. And the devil would like God's people to get out of the way, to turn to the side, to engage in all the enticing things of this world. But like Victor, we must recognize that there is an eternal glory that awaits the faithful service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thus we remember the faith, the life, and the death of Victor the Mar, Victor of Milan. When Victor was killed, the emperor demanded that his body be left out in the open to be eaten by the beasts so that he would serve as an example to any others who would dare to refuse the idols and to worship the true God. But after 7 days, the Roman guards went to the place where his body had been left. And to their amazement, they found that it had not been eaten by the wild animals. In fact, there were two beasts that were stationed at his head and his foot. When the soldiers approached, they ran away. But the body was intact. And at that point, Maximian ordered that the body be buried. There are many legends that have arisen among some regarding the healing powers of those who visited the grave of Victor the Mar. But many of those kinds of stories are sensational attempts to lead away from the truth. Our focus this morning is upon the faith of Victor the Mar, that faith which enabled him to go to his earthly death so that he might have eternal life. And such is the message of Jeremiah this morning in chapter 6, the warning to flee the wrath to come, the danger of being obstinate and refusing to hear the word of the Lord. But also the merciful message of God that is available through Christ. We sense here in verse 10 a bit of frustration in the words of Jeremiah the prophet. He is often called the weeping prophet because of the utter disregard that most of the people, including the king and his nobles, in response to the message of Jeremiah. There were a host of false prophets in Judah at the time of Jeremiah's ministry. They were offering a promise of peace, a promise of safety in the face of the attack of King Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, though they offered peace, though they assured the people that the promises of God, the prophecies of Jeremiah would not come to pass, that God's judgment would not fall upon Judah as Jeremiah had delivered the word of the Lord. But despite their false warnings, the judgment was coming. And yet Jeremiah senses a feeling of futility. He asks here in verse 10, who will hear? He speaks of their stubbornness. Throughout the Old Testament, God calls the people of Israel a stiff-necked generation. It was that which caused many of them to die in the wilderness rather than to receive the promised land. It was that which prompted them, some of them, to desire to return to slavery in Egypt rather than to proceed and to occupy the land which God had promised to them. And here Jeremiah laments their uncircumcised ears. In Exodus 6, verse 12, Moses had rebuked the uncircumcised lips. And again in Leviticus 26, verse 41, Moses condemns the uncircumcised heart of the people. But here, like Stephen's rebuke of the religious establishment in Acts 7, Jeremiah speaks of the uncircumcised ears. The refusal to hear and to respond to the warnings of the Word of God. Jeremiah, despite the stubbornness of the people, is compelled by the Lord to deliver this message of judgment, the fury, the wrath of God that is penned up and that will be executed upon the wicked. Despite all of the prophecies of peace and safety of the false prophets of Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah knew that the word of the Lord was true and that though the people wanted to hear tickling ears, messages, they wanted to hear happy words. They wanted to be entertained. They wanted to be at peace. But like the peace that is offered by the ecumenism of today, a demand that we put aside the basic truths of Scripture, the historical doctrines of Christianity, they say that those things are just divisive, that they are roadblocks to true unity. And therefore, they say that they can have peace and unity in entertainment, in humor, in modernism, by turning away from the old paths. But the old paths, the faith that guided and sustained the lives of the faithful ones of Scripture, the ones that have been sustained by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives down through the centuries, they have the key to peace. They have the key to God's blessing. And they have the key to eternal life. This warning of Jeremiah, the fury, the wrath of God that is promised upon the wicked, is a relevant warning for many today who would rather turn aside to get out of the straight and narrow. But the Bible also warns that those who do so are going down the broad road to destruction. Jeremiah says that this wrath of God will be poured out upon the young and the old, upon the young men, upon the men and the women, upon all segments of society, the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the famous and the not so famous. God's judgment was destined to fall even upon all of Judah. And those who were carried off into the Babylonian captivity were not just the wicked. God's judgment upon unbelief, national rebellion, often affects his children as well. And yet even in the midst of that, he provided for them. He promised a restoration after 70 years to that remnant. He cared for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they faced the temptation of the king of Babylon to worship the idols, to refuse the true God. God sustained them. But nevertheless, there were consequences for them. They lost their freedom. They lost their temple. They lost their homeland. But we must recognize that the judgment of God, when it falls, does indeed affect all, not just some. But in the midst of the judgment, we also see a ray of hope in this passage. Jeremiah predicts with absolute certainty that the wrath of God will fall. He would have rather not delivered that message. He had held it back. And yet, that wrath of God was stored up. It was necessary that he deliver the word of God, even as it is necessary that we hold fast to the truth of the word of God. It may be easier to preach a different message. It may be easier to live a different lifestyle. It may be easier to go the way of the world. But the eternal consequences of doing so are dreadful. The blessing of God, the result of obedience for now and for eternity, is far greater than the momentary happiness, the momentary peace that we might enjoy by doing that which is on the face tempting and appealing and enticing. We need to recognize God's eternal perspective. This passage warns us of the far-reaching nature of those who refuse to hear the word of God. They were stubborn. They were obstinate. They were disrespectful. They would not hear. They reproached the word of God. They ignored it. They didn't believe it. And they turned and they ran from it. And thus the judgment was certain. The judgment was coming. Jeremiah speaks of their refusal to hear the word of the Lord. And he notes that this is a problem which reaches all aspects of their society. He notes that it was a problem for the great and the small, the king and the nobility, the religious establishment, as well as the common people. And God's judgment will come upon all. The scripture reminds us repeatedly that God is no respecter of persons. No matter how much money we have, no matter how much fame we have, no matter how much popularity we have in the eyes of the world, if we refuse to hear and to apply the word of God, judgment is coming. He speaks here of the watchman that he had given them. God, through every generation, not just in Old Testament Israel, but in every generation, has provided watchmen, faithful ones, those who understood the scriptures. They understood their times. They recognized the real danger and the results, the consequences of refusing to hear the word of God. They are described here as watchmen, Those who saw the signs of the times. Those who witnessed of what was coming if people remained in their unbelief. He's not talking about the false teachers. He's not talking about those who said peace, peace, when there was no peace. Zedekiah and others surrounded themselves with prophets that told them what they wanted to hear. And they imprisoned Jeremiah repeatedly for his refusal to go along with the crowd. He delivered the message of God's wrath and God's judgment. And it was not well received by the king or by his servants. But these watchmen, such as Jeremiah, such as all who remain faithful to the true word of God, deliver the message of the Lord. And Jeremiah is offering here a glimpse of hope in the midst of the imminent judgment. Jeremiah lived in the closing years of the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, had already been long since sent into captivity. Samaria had fallen in 722 BC. And over the ensuing decades, most of the northern tribes were displaced and carried off into captivity into Assyria. We're now in the period around 600 BC, that time when Nebuchadnezzar was set to attack Jerusalem. And finally culminating in 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar's army would surround the city and destroy the walls of Jerusalem and level the temple to the ground so that one stone was not left standing upon another. This judgment of God was a certain outcome of the people's refusal to hear the watchman, the refusal to respond to the trumpet call to alert them to the danger. Many people today, when they hear of the certainty of God's judgment, they refuse to hear it. They stop up their ears and they turn away. If they hear it repeatedly enough, they'll simply go to another so-called church, one that will tickle their ears, one that will tell them what they want to hear. And yet the word of God remains true. Isaiah said, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever." And the truth of God's word remains despite the best efforts of men and demons to deny it and to ignore it and to pretend that it does not exist. Jeremiah offers the path to reconciliation. Despite the promise of worldly peace, which will not come, despite the temptation to go their own way and to live as they please, Jeremiah offers God's remedy. He tells them to watch, to see, and to ask for the old paths, the old ways. We're told to hold fast to the things that remain. There is great danger of elevating traditions of men to the level of God's word. But on the other hand, there is the safety, the security of following in the way of those faithful ones who have gone before. We often sing that hymn, "Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still." There are some who desire to invent new ways of evangelism, new messages and new twists to the gospel, new truth. But the Bible is God's fully inspired inerrant, complete word. And those who would say that they have a new word from God, a new message, if it contradicts that which has been revealed in Scripture, it is not a message from God. It is a message from none other than the devil. This appeal to ask for the old paths, the old way, the historical foundations, the truth of the Word of God that have blessed God's people in the past, that have sustained His people in the present, and that will provide for His people in this world for as long as the Lord shall tarry. That is the way to peace that passeth all understanding. That is the way to have true rest for the soul. The false prophets offered peace, peace, when there was no peace. They said that the armies of Nebuchadnezzar would not come. There are many people today who ridicule the historical effectiveness of what they call hellfire and damnation preaching. They would rather tickle people's ears and tell them of the love of God. But you cannot have the love of God without recognizing, as Jeremiah did, the corresponding wrath of God upon the wicked. And thus, true rest, rest for the soul, is found in the message of the gospel, in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah offered a message of hope to that remnant. He knew that the majority would remain in their sin. They would remain obstinate. They would refuse to hear and to heed the word of God. But he also knew that God is a merciful God, that he's a forgiving God. And for that small remnant that would respond in truth to the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, then there was hope and there was the assurance of God's mercy and God's grace, that there would be true rest for the soul, both now and for eternity. Jeremiah appeals to them to ask for the old paths. We need to recognize the need to hold fast to that which has successfully guided people who remained faithful to God down through the ages. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He sits on the throne of heaven, ruling and reigning, ever living to make intercession for his people. 1 John 1:9 tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins. And Jeremiah is reminding his hearers of that very fact. Despite the fact that so many have gone astray, so many preferred the ear-tickling message of hope and prosperity and peace, nevertheless, the wrath, the fury of God was penned up for far too long. The earlier prophets had delivered the same message. Many of them were stoned. Many of them, like Jeremiah, were imprisoned. The kings of Israel and Judah sought to muzzle them and to punish them for delivering a word contrary to that which they desired to hear. But nevertheless, they remain true. And we need to recognize that exhortation of Christ himself to count the cost, to take up our crosses and follow after him. That like the martyrs down through the ages, regardless of the reaction of our families, regardless of the reaction of our communities, our employers, our governments, our call is to faithful obedience to the Word of God. And He will be with His people. The martyrs down through the ages were able to go to the stake with hymns of praise on their lips, counting themselves privileged to be allowed to suffer in like manner as Christ himself. had suffered. But just as Christ died and rose from the dead, those who lose their life for the sake of Christ are promised that they will receive the blessing of eternal life, that eternal reward that comes as a result of faithful obedience. There were false prophets in Jeremiah's day. There are false prophets in our day. There are those who would say that there is no hell. There is no judgment. Those who refuse to hear the word of God refuse it because of their atheism. They refuse to acknowledge the existence of God because they do not want accountability. They do not want to answer to God's holy standard. They would rather do it their own way. They would rather define their own truth. And in large regard, that is one of the reasons for the proliferation of translations in our day. Entire passages of Scripture are either deleted or rewritten so that they do not say what historically they have said. Others refuse to hear the Word of God because of ignorance. And that is a reason for us to respond to the instruction of the Lord Jesus, to go forth and preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to convert. And of course, it is the work of the Spirit that convicts and converts the souls of men and women. But the Scripture also says, how shall they believe if they have not heard? The Bible tells us that it is through the foolishness of preaching that men and women are saved. And thus, the call to evangelism, the call to be ambassadors for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live our daily lives in our families, in our communities, in our places of employment, wherever we are, that we might be the salt and the light that the Lord Jesus has called his people to be. Other people refuse to hear the word of God because of their procrastination. They would say, I'll believe in that God someday. And they think that that resolution is enough to pacify, to satisfy God. But for those who would procrastinate and say, I'll believe later, they'll be like those in the pages of Scripture who said, not now. But for them, and for the many who resist and delay today, tomorrow may never come. Our days are indeed numbered, but we do not know the number of our days. And those who would desire to put off any real commitment, any real repentance, they may never get that opportunity. Others who refuse to hear the word of God do so because of their indulgence in their sin. And that's similar to the first, the denial of God because of a lack of accountability. But some people get so wrapped up in the pleasure, the momentary satisfaction of their sins, that they believe foolishly that there is no tomorrow, that there is no day of reckoning. And Jeremiah delivers that assurance to them, as we also can apply it to our own day and to our own lives, that God has appointed a day of judgment, a day of accountability, when he will judge the quick and the dead, when he will separate the goats from the sheep. And thus, judgment will come. We need to respond to the advice of the prophet Jeremiah, to ask for the old paths. Asking implies a humility, an acknowledgement of our need, an awareness that we can go to the Lord with a humble and a contrite heart, realizing that He will hear and answer our prayers. The Scripture promises that He will hear us, that He's able to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Sometimes we wait till the moment of danger to appeal to God. In times of war, much comment is always made on the foxhole Christianity. When surrounded by the bullets and the bombs, some soldiers fear death to the point where they say that if God will get them out of that one, that they'll survive or they'll serve Him for the rest of their lives. Sadly, many of those who survive such experiences quickly forget their resolution. Their time of panic has passed, and therefore they return to their old ways. But the smaller minority, those who witness the terror of such experience, the danger of imminent death, some turn, and by the grace of God, they get back on the straight and narrow way. They find the old path, the path which maybe guided their parents, their grandparents, some faithful servant of God that they had known in the past. And we too must recognize that as the ambassadors for Christ's kingdom, we might be the example. We might be, even as it is often said, we might be the only Bible that some people ever read. And thus, our responsibility is to live for Christ, and if necessary, like Justin the Mar, to die for Christ. Like Victor the Mar, to die for Christ if necessary, to realize that this life is not all there is, but to recognize that God's truth is an abiding truth. The judgment of the wicked, whether it was Israel in 722 BC, whether it was Judah in 586 BC, or whether it is the execution of wrath upon the wicked that will appear at that last day, that great day, when God shall judge the quick and the dead. Judgment day is coming, and we are challenged to hold fast to the things that remain, to look for the old paths, to ask for the old paths, to desire that God's presence and power and blessing would remain in our midst, to serve Him, to obey Him, to trust Him. Even as the hymn, the only way to true happiness, the only way to true life, true peace, and true rest is, as hymn number 700 advises, trust and obey. 700.
And we walk with the Lord.
There are some who, even today, refuse to hear the word of the Lord. They find excuses. They find rationalizations. They find imaginary reasons as to why they cannot respond to the message of the Word of God. Some people vocally try to shout down anyone who speaks the truth. Others simply take their marbles and go home. They will not associate with the proclamation of God's truth. But the Word of God reminds us that there's safety, there's peace, there's blessing, there is rest in following God's Word, not man's way. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding ask for the old paths?
Does this have to do with